So this past week, as the days went by, I would try to take a look at what's happening. You know, we were here last Sunday, Palm Sunday. It's supposed to be a triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But he knew the things that would happen to him over the next few days. And as I would read those, especially like Friday, I would try to be thinking, okay, this is in the morning. He's still with Pilate and all of those, and now he's crucified, and now he's put in the tomb. And, you know, if we had lived back then, it's something for us to wake up this morning with the knowledge he arose. You know, those folks, they saw when he was buried and the grief that it brought to them. But what I want to share with you today, I've read this story many times of Jesus' resurrection. If I could put a title to this morning, his resurrection and his mission continues. I thought of this verse in Psalms 30 and 5. A part of it said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And I was thinking for all of those believers that loved Christ and saw him die, saw him buried, saw the tomb sealed up. You know, it was over for them. It was finished, just like we would be when we bury someone. That part is over. But I was thinking about some verses. I'd like to look over in Philippians 2 and 7, first of all. This kind of describes what he had gone through, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was last week. Here is this week. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I was looking at those, and I want to go to another verse over in Mark, the 10th chapter. This is Jesus back before he was crucified, letting them know what to expect. Mark 10 and 34. They shall mock him, scourge him, spit upon him, and kill him. But there's just one more little thing that he put in there, that if they could have got a hold to this little clip, and the third day he shall rise again. You know, if they could have just been able to grasp this, and then I have to say, as I think about my own life, this was a promise that he was giving them, a promise that he only could fulfill. 3 days from now, I'm going to rise again. You know, I have promises that are given to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a good promise. But you know what happens sometimes when I get up in the middle of a battle? It seems like I'm going through it by myself. But if I could just remember, oh no, just like with this one. Okay, I saw him die. I saw them put him in the grave. But I also got this promise that he will rise on the third day. If I could just have the faith to believe, he will never leave me nor forsake me, no matter how I feel about it, no matter what's happening in my life. It's a promise. This was a promise to them. So I look at this morning, and what was Jesus' mission when he arose that morning? Because I've read it many, many times, but I never got this from it before. You know, everyone that loved Jesus, all of the believers in him, there was not one person on this morning that expected him to be alive. You know, we heard the song just now that of the angels saying he is risen. But you know, when they got up that morning, they did not expect to find a risen Savior. I thought about what it would have been had they had the faith to believe in those 3 days. Instead of he's dead, it's all over, we're grieving. Instead, they were counting down the hours. What if this morning, while it was still dark, a group of them had gone and said, this is the third day. We're going to be, we're going to keep a little distance from those on the watch. But we're going to be out here and we're going to watch him rise from the dead. What if they'd had that kind of confidence, but they didn't? And I look at something. What was Jesus' mission when he arose? Was it that, okay, I need to go back and I need to spend time convincing the chief priests? I haven't been able to do that yet. No, that was not his mission. And if it had been his mission, what would have been their reaction? I want to look at something in Matthew 28. Because here's what happened in the morning. 28 and 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And it goes on down, you know, in a little while the keepers, they're going to head back, 11th verse. So they're going to the chief priest now to let them know what happened, what really happened. And it says, now they were going in the 11th verse, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. You know, they told him about the angels rolling back the stone. And what did they do? Did the chief priests say, you know what, we have crucified the Son of God? No, instead it says, when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. If this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and we'll secure you. So they took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews till this day. So when Jesus rose on this morning years ago, did he say, you know what, I have got to go back in the synagogue. I've got to go back and try to persuade people. That was not his mission. You know what he was really interested in? Because, you know, when he died, the things that happened, there was an earthquake. There was the veil in the temple was rent. Things that should have caused people to say, you know what, this is different. In fact, it said there was a centurion that said, surely this was the Son of God. He recognized it, but none of the others did. And so what I'm thinking about today, what about the believers on the morning that Jesus rose from the dead? You know, Jesus, even though so many don't believe in him, I think we had this verse already maybe in Sunday school. He came into his own. His own received him not. But to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know what? He was still willing, no matter what happened on those that don't believe. What if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. Let every man be a liar and God be true. So I want to look for a little bit now over in John. What was happening with the believers when they first got up this morning? And what was Jesus' mission over the days out ahead? You know, in my mind, a lot of times I thought about Jesus arose and he ascended up to heaven. How many days was it in between that? I have in my Bible, it says there was 40 days that he spent doing something. Let me tell you what he was doing. In the 20th chapter, the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early while it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. You know, what was her mind when she saw this? Did it immediately, oh, I remember what he said. He was going to rise again. Oh, I am so excited about it now. She runneth, cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith to them, did you say he has risen just like he said? No. He said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. In other words, in her mind, he's dead. He will always be dead. But somebody, we were not even going to see him because he was risen. We were going to take spices and things to take care of the body. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. They both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre. He stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head. And then it says, they went another, that other disciple, for look at this 9th verse. As yet they knew not the scripture. They knew the scripture, but it hadn't become a part of what they're believing. They knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So did the disciple, where did it happen that all of a sudden, I believe he arose? What does it say? Then the disciples again went to their own home. Okay, I don't know where he is. The stone's rolled away. You know what? Here's what I want us to grasp today. Had Jesus not taken special attention to be able to show to his believers that he arose, what would the message be for us today?
That he arose to save us.
That's right. That's what he did, was arose to save us. But you know, if he had not spent some special attention for them to know that, if he had just arose and went to heaven, and the watchman's story is the only one that we have, that somebody stole his body, that would be the only thing that could be passed down. Here's what I want us to think about. Is Jesus realized, I've got a mission to perform. Mary Magdalene, I see part of this. Mary's 11th verse. Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. Weeping for what? Somebody has stole this body. I was going to take care of the body. She sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet. And they say, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." When she had thus said, she turned back and saw Jesus standing. She knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." In these verses, I want us to just take a picture of what it would be to not believe, not know, be able to recognize the scripture that was given, "I'll rise in 3 days." In their minds up to now is, I just see an empty tomb. Somebody has taken this dead body somewhere. So what I want to look at is the picture of what Jesus' mission will be over the next days. Those days until he really ascends to the Father. He's got some work to do to be able to convince the people that don't believe he will rise again, to be able to have a message to be able to share to the world after he's gone back again. She's supposing that he's the gardener. What was her question? He must have rose from the dead. He said he did. No, that thought is not even in any of their minds this morning. So I think about with joy coming in the morning. It came here in just a little bit. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself, and here's where she now recognizes it. And Mary Magdalene, 18th verse, came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord. And where does it, it goes on down and says, they didn't even believe it. But you know, he starts from this point. He starts working with the disciples. He starts working with other people to be able to show them he's alive. To be able to show them no matter what. Because here's the thing. To us, I would like for him to have gone back to the temple, convinced that multitude all over again that he rose from the dead. You know how people can be moved from one way to the other? Those that saw him come into Jerusalem, there was a multitude of people that were for him. There was a multitude of people at the end of that week that said, "Crucify him." So he's not spending time in these next days ahead to convince them. But what he's working with is, I want to be able to help those that have a love for me. I want them to have an assurance beyond all doubt that he has risen from the dead. And it says in that they had gone back home, and commonly reported this day to this day that he had been taken away. You know, I think about how many people have missed what could have saved them by being able to, by following that train of thought. And it causes me to say, "Lord, help me." In the places where God makes a promise to me that he will be with me in any kind of trouble that I go through, if I could, with the same kind of faith, take a hold that when difficult times come and it seems like it's just not possible. You remember when the disciples were in the ship, looks like it's going to sink, and they go and wake Jesus up. He's sleeping. He's not worried about it. You know, if they could have just had the faith to say, you know what, he's not going to drown. So let's stay in the same boat with him and we're going to be okay. What was their thought to him? Master, don't you care that we're about to die? We perish. But Jesus, if we can grasp when Jesus is with me, everything is going to be good. I want to look for a little bit at the mission in Luke, the 24th chapter, because we see this go in several different places. Jesus spends special attention, maybe for two people, maybe for one person. You remember where Jesus said to the women, I want you to go tell the disciples, but also want you to tell Peter. Make real sure that Peter is in the list of those that you're telling about me rising again. Because, you know, Peter probably had some thoughts about having rejected him and how Christ would be thinking about it. But he wanted to make sure he's taken all these steps to be able to convince them that he has risen from the dead. But look at what he did here. It says in Luke 24 and 21. I was challenged with this week. You know, when the two men, here's just two men, and Jesus is going to take some special attention. These two men are followers of Christ. They love him. They know about him dying. They happened to be there in Jerusalem that morning, and they heard the news about the grave is empty. The things that they had heard. And they're walking along, going back home again to Emmaus. And they're just talking about all the things that have happened. And a man joins them and starts walking with them. And he asks him, he said, why are you so sad? What's the matter? And they said, are you a stranger to here that you have not heard of the news that has happened about Jesus being crucified? And it's in 21st verse. Here it tells what their heart was. We trusted that it had been he which it should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. Astonished. He told them 3 days earlier, this is what's going to happen. But in their heart, in their mind, they were not able to grasp it. They made us astonished by telling us this. When they found not the body, they came saying they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And then did Jesus say, I'm through. You should have gotten it a long time ago. I'm moving on to somebody else. You know what? He spent special time with them. What did it say, 27th verse, beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. This is after the resurrection. This is the special attention that he's spending with different people to be able to convince them. I am thankful that Jesus cared that much back then. I want to be able to get this message not just next week, but 2,000 years later. I want this message to be strong and clear that I rose from the dead. I don't want it to be just two people that happen to be there and see me, but all the others don't believe. No, I'm going to spend some special time with them. So what does he do? He walks on along with them to Emmaus. It's time for them to turn in and go to their home. He acts like he's going to keep on walking. And they say, no, come on in. And when he blesses the food, they recognize this is who it was. And what did they say? Oh, well, no, they turned around. They went all the way back to be able to talk to the people about it. And it also keeps on going down. And Jesus starts going to different people. When they returned, 33rd verse, they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And they say, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And look at 36th verse. Here's Jesus working with more and more of the people. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now would they say, praise God, we have been expecting to see him over these past days. They were terrified and affrighted, and suppose they had seen a spirit. And it says, when he had thus spoken, 40th verse, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, he asked them, do you have any meat here? I don't want you to just think this is a spirit. Give me something to eat, and I'll show you that I'm still flesh and blood. I look at all these places where there was a critical time, but Jesus was willing to spend some time with them so that we could have the message today. I like also what he talked to the two men at Emmaus, on the way to Emmaus. 26th verse of Luke 24. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So Jesus looked back. You know, we sing a song, the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. All the times that he was spit on last week, that he was buffeted, the crown of thorns that we heard about this morning in Sunday school, all of those to him is just lumped into this. Shouldn't Christ have suffered these things and now to enter into his glory? You know, Jesus was in a place now where nothing else is going to hurt him. No one else is going to, like they did with Lazarus, after he had been risen from the dead, the chief priest said, you know, what we might need to do is put him back to death again. They won't be able to do this with Jesus, but he's spending time with people to be able to help them. And it's they were able to see it. The difficulties of last week, they're gone now. And he opened their understanding. But there's another person, just one person, he's wanting to spend a little bit of special time with. It's in 20 and 24 and 20. It's in John 20 and 24. You know, I'm glad to see all these accounts together, because Jesus today is interested in every one of us getting a clearer understanding of him. What he needs as a base is, I want to know Christ. I want him to be able to lead and guide me, and he will do that. John 20 and 24. Thomas. You know what we have as a title for him is Doubting Thomas. This says, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know, Jesus could have easily said, he's through. I'm through trying to work with him. But no, what does it say? A little bit of time passes by. After 8 days, his disciples are within, Thomas with them. So Jesus is going around. I'm going to convince everybody that I can. Thomas is with him. The door's being shut. Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he just speaks to Thomas, especially Thomas, this is me and you right now. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. You know, here's one more man that has moved from unbelief that he has risen to a believer. And what he would be able to do to go away from this account, from this event, and be able to work with others. And it also had 21 and 1. Here he meets with them again. Peter has said, I'm going fishing in the third verse. Others of the disciples said, we're going with you. And we fished all night, caught nothing. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. All this is days that are passing from the time that Jesus rose from the dead. Days that are spent in convincing his believers without a doubt, because they're going to need that when they go out to tell others about the resurrection. And he asked them, children, you have any meat? And he says, now imagine this rang a bell in their mind when he says, cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. They cast therefore and they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. And then John tells Peter, that's the Lord. And Peter bails out of the boat and goes swimming over there to him. I look at these places and they tell me something. Jesus is interested in every one of us being able to have a clear understanding of who he is, that we not be in the dark about it. He was willing to spend. And where do we find that about the 40 days? I thought I had known it before, but I found it here in Acts, the first chapter. 40 days that he spent making sure that they had a good testimony. 1 and 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. You know, he was still giving them messages, given them instruction to be able to carry on after he was gone. Instruction that was able to help them to where the 2,000 years later, it has clearly been given to us. It was not just, okay, the keeper said this, but I don't know for sure what happened to him. We do know the stone was rolled away. Oh, no. We know much more than that because Jesus came along and went to this one. In different ways, he ministered to them. And then it's the ascension in the 9th verse. When he had spoken these things, you think what it would have been to see him leave the earth, heading up to heaven. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud was received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven." Then returned they. You know, when they returned back to Jerusalem, they were altogether different than when they woke up on this morning all those years ago. When there was no more expectation than, I wonder who could roll the stone back because he's still dead. I am thankful that back then, Jesus was willing to take some time to make sure they understood clearly. There's a verse over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in first verse. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I am thankful that with an assurance, we can know that this is true. And I want to be able to have, to be able to pass this down to my children, to my grandchildren. You know what? There was a day when he died. He had given a promise. And you know what? I want to study in my own life. There's a lot of promises he has given me. I can say it would have been so different for them if they would have started a countdown of time from the time he was put in the tomb. 3 days from now, he's coming out again. Can you imagine the joy that they could have had even in those 3 days? Hey, let's get together. You know, why couldn't they have, while it was dark, when she came while it was dark, why couldn't they have had them a group over there singing some songs together? He's coming out. Watching close. He's coming out of here today. With an assurance, they could be able to do that. Well, I look at that and say, why didn't they have that kind of a confidence? And then I have to say, Lord, help me. I have some times where there's promises, as strong a promises as what he gave them. We have those same kind of promises available for us in troubled times, in times when I have distress. You know, I can believe his promises when everything's going good. But what about when times get really difficult? To be able to have an assurance, whether I feel him or whether I don't, he's still right here beside me. I want to be able to walk with him. I want to be able to profit by the instruction that I have gotten today for myself from watching them and watching Jesus. He still had a mission to perform. He could have, what did it say, for the joy that was set before him. You remember in his prayer to his father in John 17, he says, "Father, would you let me have the glory that I had before?" He could have easily said, "I don't want to spend any more time here. Get me back to heaven." But instead, he wanted to be able to convince all those who could be convinced he's alive. And I am thankful that we can today. There's a song, I don't know if we have it, "Because He Lives," it does something for me. "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." You know what? I want to be able to, this information that has been passed down to me, that he's alive, I want to be able to take it today because he's still alive, interceding for us in the troubles that we go through. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I am thankful for that.